Well, as we prepare for Thanksgiving, as we thank God for His goodness, growing up, I know sometimes people say, well, it's Turkey Day. Well, and my parents said, no, it has nothing to do with the turkey. We're offering thanks today. In school, I grew up in liberal Fairfax County, and they would say, oh, yeah, the pilgrims were giving thanks to the Indians. And I learned, well, no, that's not quite the whole story either. Or maybe you see it as a great day to eat a whole lot and watch football. But the history of Thanksgiving is much more beautiful than that. It's a beautiful opportunity we have to celebrate God's goodness. And I just want us to focus on, I entitled my message today, Giving Thanks Like Jesus. And we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 11 in just a second. It's a beautiful holiday because it's not about the commercialism. You don't have to bring a gift to somebody. It's about people and relationships, family and friends. It's not about what we get, but it's giving thanks. And we have a lot to be thankful for. And I just wrote several things down here. Physically, we have reasons to be thankful. For a moment, just think about your body. You don't have to tell your body to breathe. It just does it, doesn't it? I mean, whether you're sitting here, you can take a breath and choose to, or you fall asleep and your body just knows to do that. You can eat something healthy and it goes into your body and it goes to the cells and creates energy. You can eat something unhealthy and it still does, kind of figures out what to do with it as well. I mean, what an incredible body that we have. All the cells, all the things that go on with the synapse in our brain, throughout all the nerves throughout our body. And we have just incredible bodies that God uses. You get a scratch on your hand, it's going to heal. You get sick. Some people were sick and the flu bug's going around. I caught a little bit of that last week, and God knows how to heal our bodies. But physically, He takes care of us. Nationally, we're very blessed as a country. The heritage that we have, the freedoms that exist in our country. Spiritually, our salvation, the opportunity to have God's word in our hands, the ability to pray whenever we choose to go to the Father. Financially, even if you've made bad choices in your life, aren't you thankful for God's restoration and God allowing us to have what we have? We have a place to sleep. We have a place to eat. We have cars to drive, clothes. We have heat and air conditioning and so many wonderful things. Financially, we're very blessed people. Emotionally, I mean, we can choose to have joy today in our life. No matter what the struggles and trials and problems of life, we can have joy. And even in the midst of trials and circumstances and difficulties, when events come our way or difficult people even come our way, God says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. I remember years ago I was preaching and I said, well, it's kind of a stupid thing to thank God for the trials in your life. I'm certain that's not what He meant. And then over the years, I realized, you know, that's exactly what God means. And I have learned in my own life that it's only when I get to the point that I can thank God for the difficult situations that really I'm on the point of restoration then. Until I can say, thank you, God, for this difficult situation, I really haven't accepted it from a gift from God, from the hands of God that He wants to use. That though, I sung a song the other night, though the enemy meant it for evil, God wants to turn it around for good, right? Romans 8:28, God wants to use it for good. In everything, give thanks. Because God uses even those difficulties to grow us. So today we worship Him for who He is and we praise Him for what He does. And in a few minutes we're going to conclude our service breaking bread together and drinking from the cup of the Lord. The Lord's table, communion. As we kick off the holidays, we say things like Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. And so I wonder if we truly have joy in our life today. Are we experiencing a blessed life? Do we demonstrate gratitude? Years ago, I learned that the word thank comes from the word think. And unless we truly begin thinking properly, we're not going to thank properly. You have to think in order to thank. We must prepare our minds, prepare our hearts, prepare our families, and we prepare our church. And during this blessed time of the year, it can also be the most depressing time of the year. So I pray that today we encourage ourselves, and we're here to encourage others. We leave here to help others as well, because God wants us to give thanks. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to see Paul's reminder of the institution of the Lord's Supper. When Jesus had gathered at this Passover meal, he breaks the bread and drinks from the cup. And we see in verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So Paul is saying, God had told me this, and I was able to write it into the scripture, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So he picked up this bread during the Passover feast. Verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." So Jesus takes the bread, and the first thing he does is he offers thanks to God. He gives thanks. Look at the next verse. Verse 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." What did he mean by "in the same manner"? Well, really, if we look at Matthew 26:27, we have it on the screen behind us here. It says, "And he took the cup." This was Matthew's rendition of this institution. "And he took the cup and he gave" what? "And he gave thanks." So in 1 Corinthians, when he said "after the same manner," just like he gave thanks for the bread, he gave thanks for this cup as well. After the same manner. He took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "And drink ye all of it." If we look into the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus was joyful. He was happy. He was relational. He was kind. He was gracious, cheerful, friendly. He demonstrated gratitude of the experiences of life and the people that were around him. Though he was serious and focused and determined, he had a vision, he was the righteous one, we do not see him as overly harsh, rude, or rejecting. Jesus knew how to accept the crowds. He knew how to demonstrate love. He knew how to serve other people around him. He could gather large groups, and then he would spend time with the 12, and at other times, he would just take the inner circle, Matthew, Mark, or Peter, James, and John, that inner circle, and meet with them. He loved being around them. And so at this Last Supper, this night of Passover, where they would take an innocent lamb and they would sacrifice that lamb and they would shed that blood for the sins to be forgiven, Jesus changes the significance of this feast. On the Feast of Passover, the Jews would remember what had happened over the past thousands of years. That while they were captive in Egypt, God had told them to kill this lamb and to take the blood and to place it over the doorpost of their houses. And when the Lord or the death angel would pass over, he would see the blood and would not kill the oldest child. The Egyptian children, the oldest child was killed. And they so hated the Jews, they said, "Leave, get out of here." And God delivered them out of Egypt. So every Passover, they would remember God's deliverance, how he brought them out of Egypt and was going to take them into the promised land. God had delivered them. But now Jesus changes the significance from this Old Testament feast to now a New Testament ordinance. And again in verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night, the night of Passover, in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it." See, during this Seder meal or this Passover meal that they would celebrate together, there would be different rites, different ceremonies that would go on. And some included the bread and the cup. And maybe you can just picture him breaking this bread, this unleavened bread. And he said, "You remember how we were delivered in the past, but I want you to see how I'm going to deliver you over the next few hours." And he breaks the bread. And he says something very powerful. He said, after he had given thanks, "This is my body." Now, was it his literal body that's been debated for 2,000 years? No, his physical body was there. We know he was just saying it's a representation because he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember me when you partake of this bread." And then after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, when he had taken a drink, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Here is the bread. This is my body. Here is the cup. This is my blood that's going to be shed for you. And I want you to remember me when you drink of this cup. I don't want you to think of the bread. I don't want you to think of the cup. I want you to remember me. This isn't about a ceremony. It's about the Savior. This isn't about us. It is about him. It isn't about what we get out of it. It's about what we offer up to him. I want you to remember me. That really is the key to the Christian life. Hebrews 12 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Keep our eyes on Jesus. When Peter was walking on the water, he did well until he got his eyes off of Jesus. When Jesus called the disciples, he said, "I want you to follow me." It's not about a code. It's not about a religion. It is about me, Jesus said. "I want you to follow me." When John the Baptist ended up in prison, he said, "Would you go find Jesus? He's the one that I proclaimed. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah. But now I'm in jail and I'm confused. Would you go ask him, is he really the one?" And Jesus just said, "Keep your eyes on me. Look at what I have done for you." When we deal with people or difficult circumstances or the discouragement of life, we've got to remember him. We must keep our eyes on him. A young mom dealing with young kids can be very difficult and trying on her patience, and we've got to remember Jesus. A 40-year-old husband going through some life transitions, and he's like, "Okay, what is the next step for me?" He has to keep his eyes on Jesus and say, "Remember me." A single man or woman thinking, "Hey, God, have you forgotten about me?" must keep their eyes on Jesus and remember him. Even a senior adult going through some uncertainties of life has to keep their eyes on him. And over the holidays, as we offer thanks to our God, let's remember his incredible blessings. Think of the first Thanksgiving when they gathered together to thank God for his deliverance. Or whether it be during the Revolutionary War when they had prayed and asked God for direction, asking God for deliverance, and God gave them the independence. Or the Civil War, the battle that was fought for the freedom of many individuals, and people were praying and seeking the direction of God that we would be a more perfect union. Or World War II, we hear the stories how God would answer prayer throughout all of the wars of history. One day I was watching a show about Midway, and they were just talking about how if circumstances would have been just a little bit different, how the Japanese could have won that battle. But because God has blessed us, we enjoy freedoms. We remember Him. Think of times in prayer in our life when we hit those low points and we cry out to God and He answers our prayers and we must offer Him thanks. Pastor Steve, thanks for the reminder that Christmas is more about the cross than it is the cradle. It's more about His death than His birth. The Scripture talks a lot about celebrating His death. I'm not even sure, and my guess is that it never tells us to celebrate His birth, though I'm not against us doing that, but it does tell us that when we partake of this bread, that we remember His death. Do you get stressed at Thanksgiving? You've got to clean the house. You've got to decorate. You've got to run to the grocery store. You've got all the traveling. You've got to cook. You've got to clean all the things that you have to do. And you get stressed out. You're like, remember the story of Mary and Martha, how stressed out she got, and just instead of sitting at the feet of her Savior. Or Christmas comes. There's so many traditions you have to follow. I remember when Paula and I first got married, and we did all the things I did at Christmas and all the things her family did at Christmas, and we were driving home, I think it was on a Christmas Eve from restaurant, Reston, and we were both exhausted, and I was driving home, and it started snowing, and the next day was Sunday, and I was thinking, man, I just have no energy, and I'm driving, and we're tired, and I said, never again am I going to just do all these things again. We've got to figure out what our traditions are going to be and the things that we can do. And that worked great for us. Parents may not like that, though, right? And by the way, this is not for you guys. It's different now. But anyway, we follow the traditions. They are leaving us, though, aren't you? He's taking my little girl away for Thanksgiving. But anyway, I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter or anything at all. But you know, how did I get there? You know, so. But you got the traditions. You visit family. You're shopping. You're wrapping. You're attending events. You're overspending. You have all these things, the busyness of life, and so many things to do. So many people to please. So many things that can go wrong. And then I added so many Hallmark movies to watch. Right. Steve, you going to watch some movies this year? Yeah. Okay, great. All right. Glad to hear that. But in the midst of all of this, we must remember Jesus, right? I mean, this is a time of thanking God and celebrating the birth of our Savior. But we can get so distracted, and we need to give thanks like Jesus. Look at verse 26, and I don't know if I think I didn't even give you this verse, Lars, so if you have 1 Corinthians 11:26. Notice he says, for often as you eat this bread, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. When we partake, we are showing, we are demonstrating, we are proclaiming what He did for us on the cross. See, Christianity without the cross, without the death, burial, and resurrection is just a religion. It's just a code of ethics. It's just a nice story. But with our Savior, it is a relationship, and we do show what He's done for us. we remember the preeminent one who left heaven. He is the leader who became a servant. He is God in the flesh. He is the Lord of life who came to die. This is the one that we remember today. But it's interesting, this church, Paul was writing 1 Corinthians to challenge them. Really, it was a letter of rebuke. Because the Lord, who is the servant, who lived a sacrificial life and ultimately died the death of the cross, who gave everything, who at this Passover meal washed the disciples' feet, who had said, no, though I'm the greatest leader, I'm going to demonstrate it by being a servant. When they were remembering him, if you read this entire story, they were being quite selfish. They were condemning others. They were judgmental of others. They were divisive toward others. When the meal came out, they didn't want to wait on the other people. They wanted to eat all of their food. The rich people had nice food. The poor people did without. There were people that were here celebrating into drunkenness. These people were living very selfishly, and they had this meal together. In Bible days, they would often have the church service, and they would have a meal. They called it the love feast or the agape meal that they would gather together. And after this meal, they would get together and partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, at this meal, the rich people brought a lot of nice food, and they didn't share it with other people. The poor people didn't have anything to eat because that was how most of society has been throughout history, and they would leave hungry. And the rich people wouldn't wait to minister to the other individuals. They got in a hurry. They wanted to do their own thing. It was about what they got out of it. And Paul said something really interesting. He said, in this feast, verse 17, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. You came together to celebrate Jesus, but you're being divisive toward each other. And so he said, as we looked in the other verse, now I want you to examine yourself. Are you focused on yourself or are you focused on Jesus? Is there somebody that you're upset with today? Is there a circumstance in your life that you have a bitterness or you aren't thanking God for? That's what I want you to do before you partake, because this is about me, Jesus said. It's not about what you get out of it. They were doing the right thing with the wrong motivation. It really is that idea of, do I get to or do I got to? Hey, I get to have family over, or I've got to have family over. Or maybe even said, hurry up, we've got to go to church. No, actually, we don't got to go to church. We get to go to church. Well, I got to work in the nursery, or I got to get there to sing in the choir, or I got to help out in some area. No, no. This is the King of the universe. We get to serve him. It really is transitioning, doing the right thing, and having the right motivation, the got to the get to. Oh, we've got to decorate the house. No, you really don't. Well, we've got to clean. Well, you don't. Well, some of you do, maybe, but yeah. But not long ago, Paula had her birthday party, and my kids said, I know what we're going to invite some families over. And so they came over to our house. Paula didn't know about it. She came out of the back room, and everybody said, happy birthday. And several of the ladies said, there's no way that I would want to be surprised. People come into my house without me knowing about it, and if it wasn't clean or what. And that was one of the things kids said. They said, hey, can we do this? Yeah, if you clean the house. Now, did they? I'm not going there. You know, even grown kids don't always do everything. But I guess it took care of the dishes out of the sink at least or something, you know. But do I got to or do I get to? Well, we've got to get a present for so-and-so. Yeah, we've got to invite them over this year. I've got to attend this event. You know, we've got several work events, church events, family events, all these activities, and we can have that got-to attitude or we can have a get-to attitude. So over the holidays, let's look into our heart, really look at our motivation. What is it that's going on within us? Do we have that motivation of loving God and loving others? Or are we just duty-bound? You know, God looks at the heart. He wants to see that desire, not just our outward actions. He doesn't want to see us focus on getting our way. And even as trials and difficulties hit, how will we respond? Let's offer the attitude of gratitude. Let's give him thanksgiving just like Jesus. Look again at verse 23, and we're going to wrap this up. Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now notice this, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was, what's the next word? Betrayed. He took the bread and then he gave thanks. At what point? When he knew that Judas, the word betrayed meant handing him over to die. He knew the disciples were going to flee from him. Remember he said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. He knew they all were going to leave to the point where Jesus was alone to ultimately he's on the cross and he even says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He knew he was getting ready to face the deepest trial of his life, but what does he do? He gives thanks. He gives thanks. Then Jesus serves this meal to his disciples, and he simply says, remember me. Remember me. Remember my body that's broken for you. Remember my blood that is being shed for you. And he said, I want you to do this until I come back. So this was an ordinance that was to be instituted throughout church history. And today on, is it November 24, 2019, we gather again to remember him. Let us come with a heart of gratitude. Let us come giving thanks. Let's not focus on our own interests and what didn't go our way. Let's not focus on other individuals. Let's just remember him this morning. Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Today, let's prepare our hearts to remember Jesus. Let's prepare as a church. Let's be a family that gives thanks. Thank God for his spiritual blessings. Thank God for the nation we live in. Thank God for finances. Thank God that he's changed our lives. Thank God for the calendars that he gives us, that he's given us life to serve him one more day. Let's demonstrate by our attitude and our service and our act of worship who our God truly is. And maybe we need to make a decision for our salvation today, to know that we're going to heaven. Maybe we need to make a decision that we need to follow the Lord in baptism, or to come forward and join the church, or to get involved in a ministry, or to be involved in giving, or in our own personal family we need to make some decisions, or in my own personal life there's some things that I know I need to deal with that's going on in my heart. Wrong thinking, wrong feelings, wrong actions. Maybe nobody else knows about it, but God does. And I need to get my eyes back on him to remember who he is. Let's bow in prayer in just for a moment. And at this time, we have a few minutes where we invite you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. It's not about the song or what we do outwardly. but it's dealing with our Savior in our heart and our minds right now. And I have a question. Do you know for sure that when you die that you'll go to heaven? Do you know that? That when that moment comes in our life that you will spend eternity with Jesus? What a great day in my life when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I said something like this: Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe you died for me. Please forgive my sins. Come into my life and be my Savior. If you did that this morning, give him thanks. Just thank him for the forgiveness of sins. If you know you're going to heaven one day, just offer him praise for your salvation. Now, after we trust him as Savior, he's got a life he wants us to follow him in. And sometimes we get off track. And I'm thankful for confession, or as we saw earlier, examine ourselves. As you examine yourself, is there something in your life that you need to remove? Is there something in your schedule that shouldn't be there? Is there something in your thoughts or your heart that you need to ask for cleansing right now? Confess just means to agree with God. Jesus, this is sin. And I ask that you would forgive me and clean me. Fathers, we come examining ourselves this morning. Maybe there's nothing immoral, but we really didn't offer you a heart of worship this morning. We weren't giving you thanks in everything, and so we offer that to you right now. And I pray you'd bless this time of invitation.